The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, this was funny. James Corden, again, had Tom Brady on last night. Corden is a year younger than Brady. He asked Brady if he had any hopes, he, Corden, of being drafted into the NFL. Brady said no, and then this happened.
Okay, I might not make Tampa, but I could play for the Jets.
You might be able to play for the Jets.
There you go. That's
actually,
all I needed.
Right,
that's all
that
I needed.
I mean, come on. As Marcus Spears joins us here this morning, what... I guess I should ask you the question. Based upon what we saw from Adam Gase's offense last year, would it have been any worse for the Jets if James Corden had been their starting quarterback?
It would have been no worse. It would have been more people in the stands if it wouldn't have been a pandemic. He would have brought people to the stadium because there was no one else for people to come see play for the Jets.
That was a very just a depressing exchange the two of them had last night. But with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We're live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And here we go with the menu for hour number two. We're getting up with a star-crossed franchise and a crossroads for the quarterback. When will enough finally be enough? We will explain. Then, would these star quarterbacks make any team a Super Bowl contender? We will separate the haves from the have-nots in the biggest questions of the offseason. And Swagoo says the big fella will tell each of these quarterbacks where they should sit in this all-expensive game of musical chairs as we get up with you starting right now. 6 days and counting away from the franchise tag deadline. The Cowboys have that much time to start making a decision on Dak Prescott's future. Oh, by the way, he's coming back from an injury. Cowboys reporter Ed Werder with this yesterday on Dak's recovery from his ankle injury.
I'm told, Kevin, that he's been at the team facility doing his rehab Monday through Friday. One team source tells me the quarterback will be, quote, 110% fine and physically ready by the middle of next month to participate in the offseason program, provided, of course, he's under contract or has signed the franchise tender.
Okay, so obviously that's great news here as Marcus joins us, the former Cowboy. The last time we saw him on a football field, his foot was facing in the wrong direction. So we've sort of overlooked that part of it. So it's good to know from Ed that he is progressing. But Jeff, I want to go back to you on this question because every one of you, I don't mean to yell at you, but all the insiders I have on here keep coming out and telling me, Greeny, they're just going along as planned, okay. And the Cowboys still have every belief they will sign Dak Prescott to a long-term contract. And my question is how? Every day this gets further and further away from them. What makes them think they're going to get a deal done unless they go all the way to where he wants to be?
You just go ahead and vent. I'll be your therapist here, and Marcus will handle the Jet side of things. I'll try to handle the Dak side of things. Look, the problem with that is as each day moves closer to these deadlines, we feel like the bridge between Dak and the organization is widening, and that is because he could play for $37.7 million this year on the franchise tag. That's 20% higher than last year. So when you enter negotiations, if you can make 20% higher just by signing a piece of paper, that's where you start your talks. And all of a sudden, the bridge starts to get wider. You have to start your year one negotiations higher than you did a year ago. To me, Greeny, I'm just going to say misery loves company in this one because I can't answer your question without telling you it does not feel to me as if this deal gets done.
So Marcus, look, again, and you're a former Cowboy, and we've talked about this so many times, but it really sort of crystallized in my mind as I was going through the notes yesterday. Well, the definition of insanity is just doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for a different result. That's what they're doing in Dallas. So you tell me how they get this done.
I don't think they get it done, G. I think it's a franchise, and Dak is playing somewhere else next year. I believe that is going to be the scenario because of how long this is taking, because of what Dak leveraging position is. And I don't see Dallas budging either. Like, we've talked about this from a Dak standpoint. But at this point, do we know if Dallas is gonna fold to Dak Prescott and Todd Francis's agent's demands? Mm-hmm. Like, both sides are really playing hardball. That's one part of this conversation that we haven't got into. We've talked about the Cowboys' leverage when they brought over Andy Dalton last year. We're talking about Dak's leverage right now. But what if both parties aren't willing participants to get a deal done that's going to put them how they feel in a bad situation? So there's a new entering of the fray. And look, the leverage part, right? Dak does have leverage because of 31 other teams. He doesn't have leverage when it comes to the Cowboys and what the Cowboys want to do. When we start talking about leverage, the leverage is based off the fact that you're a really good player and other teams will enter the fray. That's the only way an NFL player has leverage. Trust me, everybody out there. We talking about money and all of that. Franchising him for this number is an issue for the Cowboys because that is what Jeff just said, the negotiating starting point. That's why everybody's been screaming, we should have did this 2 years later. So the leverage is both ways. But Dak Prescott has put himself in a position where 31 other teams, and technically 31 other teams, but yeah, when he becomes a free agent or teams can trade for him, he'll be a high commodity. That is Dak Prescott's leverage.
And here's the other leverage, I think. Football players are assets. At the end of the day, you know that, Marcus. You are an asset to your organization. To some level, all of us are who work in different places. He's an asset. He is an asset that has extraordinary value that they are going to lose for nothing next year. That is leverage. There is something to that. You can't afford. If you let that guy walk out of your building and you get essentially nothing in return, Marcus, that is a total organizational failure. That is like a breach of fiduciary responsibility, to use a bunch of fancy business words. So that, to me, Marcus, feels like that as well.
Yeah, G, you're right. Like, listen, this is, oh, when the trade entered, when the trade talk about Dak entered and then Russell Wilson and all of this stuff that we've been talking about and proposing, like, the Dallas Cowboys understand the situation they're in. The Dallas Cowboys' biggest loss is Dak leaves, you have no quarterback. So there is no way, from a smart, to your point, using your smart business savvy words, there is no way Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones don't have a trade in the scenario. That would be bad for business. That would be bad for them. There's no way they shouldn't be thinking about, do we try to get a younger quarterback in this draft? All of that stuff is on the table. And when we talked about this situation with Dak recently, I said the leverage that Dak has is the fact that he can leave. That is when you get leverage. Deshaun Watson, how is he creating his leverage? I want to leave. How did Carson Wentz create his leverage? I want to leave. Now, Dak has not said that, but we are all taking away how long this negotiation has taken. And eventually, we think both sides, at least Dak and his side, are going to get tired and say, hey, pay us the franchise tag and we'll walk out next year.
So, Jeff, let me come back to you, because you have been spent a lot of time telling me what the league expects about Deshaun Watson. They expect him ultimately to get traded. Mm-hmm. What they expect about Russell Wilson. To this point, they don't expect it. What does the league expect to happen? Other people you talk to with Dak ultimately here in Dallas.
I mean, the precedent is Kirk Cousins. You know, we bring his name up a lot with Dak Prescott. He has even said the franchise tag can be your friend. And to Marcus's point, Dak doesn't even need to say, I want to leave. He can simply say, I want to be here. And that's enough leverage. In fact, that's probably the best move. Yep. That's what Kirk Cousins essentially did. Said, hey, I'll play here. Just pay me. Just pay me, and I love it here. And he ultimately left. And Scott McLuhan, the general manager of the team that was negotiating with Kirk Cousins at the time, told me at one point, look, the bridge was too wide. If we didn't sign him back when we could have for a discount right when he became our starter, we were never going to sign him. That is the exact same situation to me that is now playing out in Dallas.
The biggest difference is that I think, with all due respect to him, a lot of people questioned whether Kirk Cousins was a great quarterback. There's a lot less of that question, I think, Marcus, with Dak Prescott. They're just not the same level of player at this point, right? I think that's a reasonable way. Marcus, we didn't mean to go this long on this, but it's fired up. Marcus, final thought. Go.
Gee, you're absolutely right. Look, Dak Prescott, the reason why we are having this conversation is because Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. I don't think we ever thought of Kirk Cousins in that way. We thought Kirk Cousins was good, but Kirk Cousins was more of a necessity. Dak Prescott adds a little bit of an advantage to you when he's playing quarterback based on what we've seen him do and his progression at the position. So this is a totally different, from a numbers and franchise tag perspective, yes, this is the same. But from the player and his ability and talent and what you think he can eventually evolve to, Dak Prescott is head and shoulders above what we thought Kirk Cousins would be. And that's why this is even more of a pressing matter than everything else we've talked about when it comes to franchise quarterbacks like Dallas have called him 100 times.
Right. And Cousins wound up making the most money of any player in history over a five-year period.
That's the
crazy part.
And
that is what's going to happen with Dak. All right, we didn't mean to go that far on that, but it is just a situation that will not go away. Meanwhile, coming up, this offseason is all about quarterbacks. Swagoo is going to tell you who needs to stay and who needs to find a new home as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
So much fun, the big fella, Marcus, the big Swagoo Spears. We will hear what other people say, and then he will tell you what they really meant. The first up is the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell, who was asked this week about who has final say on roster decisions in Detroit, him or the GM, Brad Holmes. Here's what he said.
Here's what I'd say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team.
Okay, so that's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
Swagoo says, first of all, I played with this man, so I know he's a little bit crazy. It's a little bit crazy in him. But the bottom line is, Dan Campbell, you got head coach on your office door. You were never the alpha male. That's what Dan Campbell is saying. I'm not the alpha male, never was the alpha male. And by the way, the person over the Detroit Lions is an alpha female. So Dan Campbell can back up. He never was the alpha male in this situation when it comes to the GM, and Spielman just came over. So everybody relax is what Dan Campbell is saying. I'm making no draft decisions.
I love it when people are asked a question and then they respond by saying something that doesn't immediately obviously have anything to do with the question that they were asked. And that's what how that sort of struck me. All right, next up, we have J.J. Watt, who was asked this week about why he chose to sign with the Cardinals. Here's what he said.
The longer I looked at it, the more it just signs kept pointing back down here. You know, there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down here in Arizona. I've always said in this league, you have to have a quarterback to have a chance, and there's a young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do big things and is going from year two to year three and can take an even bigger jump to continue to grow and progress and be even better.
I like it. That's what J.J. Watt said. What does Swagoo say?
Well, you know, he ain't going to win a Super Bowl, so the part about the quarterback is right. Like Kyler Murray, we expect to be good, but it ain't going to lead to a Super Bowl. And J.J. talked about signs. Now, American people, signs. What do the signs mean? All signs kept pointing Arizona. You know what the damn sign was? The money sign. $15.5 million per year. That's what J.J. Watt is saying. He got off a private jet, G. Somebody got to pay for it. So the Arizona Cardinals decided we gonna pay for it. We gonna give you 2 years, $31 million, coupled with what you made in Houston. And that's what J.J. Watt is saying. When I talk about signs, I'm talking about money, baby. Mm-hmm. And that's what it took to get him to the desert.
Yes, the sign was the dollar sign. No question about it. I completely agree.
One more.
Tom Brady was on Corden last night. We've had a lot of fun with this. And he was asked about his Lombardi trophy toss during the Super Bowl celebration. Here's what he said.
Daniel!
any bit of you thinking, what do I do if this goes in the water?
Okay, first of all, I was not thinking at that moment. There was not a thought. It was, this seems like really fun to do. And I found out later that had that been an incomplete pass, that would have went down like 80 feet.
That's what Tom Brady said. What does Swagoo say?
I was drunk and I wasn't thinking. It's what Brady is basically saying. I wanted to be more profound and funny, but that's what it boils down to. Those in tequila mix, we throw Lombardi trophies over the water, and we don't think about it until a month later when we do an interview with Carbon. That is what Tom Brady just said. I didn't realize it would go 80 feet down to the bottom of the water. You know why you didn't realize it, Tom? It's because tequila doesn't allow you to realize anything. All it allows you to realize is that I'm doing what I'm thinking that the tequila wants me to do at this particular time, and he threw the trophy. Thank goodness it was people there. That's why you need a great friend peer group, G, because they are there to take care of you, catch you when you fall, and you can depend on them when the tequila takes control and you cannot think. That is what Tom Brady was saying.
He was basically saying, Marcus, I was on that yak. That's basically what he was saying to James Corden. I'm on that yak.
I was waiting for you to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Tell Marcus what you told us earlier today about what you saw Tom Brady do.
No, he can chug a beer faster than anybody I've ever seen. Anyone. I mean, hands down. Offensive, and usually Marcus knows this, offensive linemen, you know, usually the offensive linemen are the beer chuggers and they can throw them down.
They the ones. Yeah.
Like Tom Brady, I'm telling you, Tom Brady, when we were celebrating a ring ceremony, we had a little competition and he beat everybody. So the guy can get after it. He doesn't do that a lot, but when he does it, I mean, obviously he has fun. The only thing that I'm concerned about, look, I'm going to just show you something here. With this thing in particular, the only thing that's scary is if someone got hit with this part of this trophy, it would be a little bit concerning for me. But he was able to, it's pretty heavy too, so when you throw this thing, it would float. I think this is hollow, so it would float.
Let the record show that Ninko today has now displayed a picture of himself sacking Russell Wilson in the Super Bowl behind him, and now his replica Lombardi trophy that he has sitting in the house.
No. Hey, that's not a replica. That's from Tiffany's.
You and Ryan Clark were talking about Super Bowl trophies.
That is not even a humble brag. That's just a brag. There's nothing humble about it. Coming up, sometimes a change of scenery can do you good. The GOAT speaks on why he was ready to leave the NFL's dominant dynasty. You'll hear what he said and why it is so important. Coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Come on, get up. Here we go with sneaky Hembo time, and this one is for Darlington today. Tom Brady will be 44 next season. Who is the last quarterback to start an NFL game at the age of 44 or older? We'll see if Darlington can get that as we continue. Plus, coming up, we'll explain why the Cowboys need to act right now, and I will tell you exactly what I mean by that as we continue. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
On the Jump's first half season special, the most spectacular plays from LeBron, Giannis, Steph, Luka, and many more.
I mean, that is absolutely filthy.
And the not-so-spectacular plays.
That should be goaltending.
We'll also give out our mid-season awards, and the one and only Tracy Morgan joins the Jump.
When the next season is over, my basketball season is over. I don't watch championships. I don't do that.
Check out The Jump from 2 to 3 Eastern, a special time today.
All right, Jeff Darlington, here we go. Back on Get Up, and Hembo's coming for you. Who was the last quarterback to start an NFL game at the age of 44 or older?
He's so sneaky. I will admit, I didn't even know there was a quarterback who started at 44. I will put it between Doug Flutie and Vinny Testaverde, though, because those are the oldest guys I can remember playing. I will say Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, he got it right. He got it right. That is correct. It is Vinny Testaverde.
Boom.
In 2007. That is correct. Brady will start this season, we presume, and he will be 44 years old. This after joining Peyton Manning as the only starting quarterbacks to win Super Bowls with multiple teams. He did it in his first year in Tampa. And I want you to hear this. He was on James Corden last night. I thought this was really interesting. He talked about what went south in New England and what attracted him to this new opportunity.
All of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my two little ones. And all of a sudden, I saw my wife, and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
And what did you say in that moment? What did you say?
I just gave her a big hug. I was trying to figure out a way to change the subject really quick.
Right.
So I was... I think I moved on to something else pretty quickly.
Okay, so that was Brady yesterday, and it wasn't the soundbite that I anticipated, but that's okay because it was another really interesting thing. Jeff Darlington, we talked about this earlier, the supposition that this has to come to an end at some point for Brady, and I guess it does, but there's Giselle, and it's interesting to hear him saying that that's obviously a huge factor in this decision. How much longer should we be expecting Tom Brady to keep going?
Well, look, like I said last hour, Greeny, it's all about how Giselle said it. Did she say, "How much more do you have to prove?" Or was it, "How much more do you have to prove?" Because this is a player now who, by the way, has found a new lease on life, a new sense of happiness in Tampa. He jokes around with his buddies. He says, you know, at a 1 p.m. game, he's in his pool in his backyard by like 4:45. Giselle is enjoying life there. He can keep going if he wants to. And by the way, I would point out one thing that I think that maybe people overlook. As much as this is about winning Super Bowls, it's also about validating his TB12 method. I know people kind of scoff at that and maybe say, whatever, TB12 method. That is near and dear to him. And every year that he succeeds in the NFL is another year that after his career, when he's saying, "Hey, look at this, this works," he's got the proof. And every year is more proof to that point.
Listen, the man just appears to be getting younger, it seems, almost by the day. Marcus Spears, your first time in on this today. What do you think? How much longer should we be expecting this to go on?
I believe Tom Brady's going to retire after next year. And I know we all talking about Superman, and we in an era already that we never seen. But I think he runs it back with Tampa one more year. Like, and look, I'm all for it. Play till you're 90 if you can. But the bottom line is this. Tom Brady has already proved what he went to prove. Giselle knew what she was asking. How much more do you have to prove? Tom Brady's answer should have been nothing. I didn't really have anything to prove before I got to Tampa. But since all of y'all talk about, was it me or Belichick, I'm going to go to Tampa and do it there. And now there is literally nothing else to prove. Like, Tom Brady is trying to defy the odds. I like what Jeff just said about TB12. It's going to sell a lot of product when he retires after next year, banking on people playing in their 40s. But let me let y'all know something right now, okay? Tom Brady plays quarterback. I could take TB12. D lineman can take TB12. Offensive lineman can take TB12. Guess when we ain't going to be playing football? When we 43. I don't give a damn how good them supplements are.
I'm with that. But, Jeff, you don't buy it. You don't think he's one and done, if you will, next season.
I mean, I know, that's not his mentality. I can tell you that. I mean, there was a point in the season when I was talking to some people, and he was already talking about playing beyond this next season. Like, he was already, like, saying to himself, like, yeah, I definitely would like to go another year beyond this contract. So that was before he even won this Super Bowl. And by the way, something we talked about last year at this time, it isn't all about the Super Bowl to him. It's also about, like, the new challenge. And yes, that new challenge ultimately ends in a Super Bowl. But this is just a guy who feels invigorated. And I don't know, man. I just think it's important to him. And I think that I do anticipate he plays two more seasons.
You played with him, Ninko, for a long time. What do you think?
Look, I think the NFL, every year's funny and it's different. And as a player, I can tell you from experience that some years you go through it and you're like, man, I feel great. I can play for a long time. And then there's other years where the season ends and you're like, man, I can't do this any longer. I mean, I'm in trouble right now. So I think Tom just had a great season where he felt healthy. He didn't have to battle through injuries. When you have those seasons when you're struggling through injuries and you feel like the one thing leads into another one and it just never ends, those are the years where you're like, man, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And unfortunately, 90% of the NFL, they either leave the game injured or the team cuts them. There's not many guys that just say, yep, yeah, I'm walking away, I'm retiring. So there's always three ways to go out. It's your way, their way, or injury. That's it. So, you know, if he wants to walk out on his own 2 feet, it's going to be tough if he wants to keep playing.
All right, we will see. We'll have much more on the football as we go. Swagoo is going to tell you where all these quarterbacks should wind up. But now we get to the game of the night. Last night, all eyes on the Lakers and the Suns and two of the league's top scorers, LeBron James, Devin Booker, pick it up second quarter. Oh, here's LeBron flying down the lane off the little nice dish from Alex Caruso. He's got his bucket on one end and the Lakers are within one, but on the other, here comes Devin. Booker had 15 at the half. LeBron had 15 at the half. Phoenix had a 7-point lead. Good game. Third quarter, Lakers still down by 7. Watch this sequence here. LeBron fouled after the play. Watch what Booker does. Sort of tosses the ball hard at the referee. He would be assessed a double tech and get ejected from the game. His night, done. He'd finish with 17 points. Suns have a 3-point lead after three. Could they win without him? To the fourth we go. Suns up 4. Dario Saric, no good. Oh, we got a nice save, though, and Jay Crowder, the bucket off the glass. Suns up 7. Here comes LeBron on the other end. 3 of his 38, keeping the Lakers in it. But it was more than enough for Phoenix, even without Booker. A minute left, off a miss. Here comes Bridges for the slam. He had 19. Suns win, even playing the fourth quarter without Devin Booker, and are now in second place in the Western Conference. And so as we head to the All-Star break, there he is. Jalen Rose gets up early with us here. And Jalen, the Lakers have one more game before the break. That's tonight in Sacramento. LeBron is not making the trip. It'll be the first game he doesn't play this year. They have a bunch of injury concerns. You keep saying you're not concerned about the Lakers, and I keep asking you, does that change this morning?
It does not change. Good morning, Greeny, this morning, because when they're healthy, I don't believe there's a team in the NBA that will take them to 6 games in a playoff series. LeBron James is missing his first game this year. That's outstanding considering this is his 18th season, mm-hmm, and he's 36 years of age. Anthony Davis has been injured. When Schroeder came back recently, we saw LeBron could go to a different level. But this is all about the Phoenix Suns. And how about reinvention? When Chris Paul went to the Clippers, they had championship or bust expectations. They didn't meet those expectations. Therefore, people assassinated his character. When he went to Houston, they had championship expectations. They didn't get it done. People assassinated his character. He actually reinvented himself when he went to OKC because people appreciated watching a Hall of Fame player that's a veteran nurture other young players. And because of that, the Phoenix Suns went to the bubble and played terrific. They were 8-0 and led by Devin Booker, which tells them now we can acquire Chris Paul. Now we can acquire Crowder and try to take this next leap. And that's exactly what they did. And I love their young core group of players that they drafted. Devin Booker, Bridges, Ayton, Johnson. They've been terrific this year. Monty Williams and his staff, player development. The Phoenix Suns are the story right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, all year long, we're talking about the Lakers and to some degree the Clippers. And the top two teams in the West, and it's not even close, are Utah and Phoenix. And so we will see if that stays that way. But I want to ask you about something else that's happening tonight. The Nets go to Houston. That means James Harden's return. And he did a really good interview with Malika Andrews in which he said he hopes the fans will show him love. What do you expect tonight as James Harden returns to Houston?
Malika's really good at her job, and they're going to show him love. But here's the thing. He's a Hall of Fame player. Tim and Fertitta acknowledged that they're going to retire his jersey, as they should. But there will be people that have a sour taste in their mouth about how it ended. That's just how it works. They're not going to ignore what happened this season. James Harden is a fantastic player. And people do take it personal when you say you don't want to play for their team. And how about being someone from Houston, you lose James Harden, Deshaun Watson is unhappy. And so I'm pretty sure while they're going to celebrate all of the things that he did in Houston, there will be some jeers for James Harden when he returns. But he is one of their all-time great players in the history of that franchise.
Now, to your point about the city of Houston, the Astros also lose George Springer, who is an incredibly important part of their team. It's been a rough time in that sports city. But what do you think? You think that when they say his name tonight and, you know, number 13, James Harden, what will the reaction be in the arena?
Well, initially, there are going to be some boos. There are going to be some jeers. But it doesn't take away from his all-time greatness. He was an MVP there. He was in the top two or three for multiple years. He also was a he won scoring titles 3 years in a row. And James Harden is a fantastic offensive weapon. Like, one of the most unique offensive weapons that this league has seen. So they're going to celebrate him, give him his flowers, but there will be people that are upset about how it ended.
Of course. And very quickly, Jalen, what if I told you that I think right now he's playing better than he ever played there? You watch James Harden right now. The game he's playing, the way he's playing the game right now is the best he's capable of playing, yes or no?
I hate to tell you this. You're right, because it's more attractive. Like when James Harden was in Houston, his numbers were on steroids. He was getting these numbers, but it was like 35, 40, 15, and 15. Now he's more under control. He's in cruise control. Anytime you have a triple-double the way he did without having a turnover, you know that he's in his Duffy.
I don't know what that means, but it is the first time in history.
He's in his bag.
Every now and again, I just need a little explanation. Jalen, thank you. We will see you tonight for the NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. You'll see that game. It's Kyrie and Harden and the Nets. The Beards return to Houston against the Rockets at 7:30 Eastern. Steph and the Warriors take on Dame and the Blazers after that. Our coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame SportsCenter at 7 tonight. All the action here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, this offseason, all about the quarterbacks. Swagoo coming up next. We'll tell you who needs to stay and who needs to find a new home right this minute. That's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we got baseball. Spring training on ESPN and the app continues this afternoon. Mariners, Cubs, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Then tomorrow it's the Nats and the Mets at 1 o'clock. And wrap it up Friday with the world champion Dodgers taking on the Royals, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Baseball is back, and it's here on ESPN. And with that, I welcome you back to our Seaport studios. I am Greeny. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you commercial free till the top of the hour. So that's 13 minutes. We've got a lot of football conversation between now and then. And then First Take will take over at the top of the hour. And they're talking hoops. Stephen A., Max, and Molly looking at last night in the NBA. What should we take away from the Lakers' loss? Should we feel any better about the Celtics after they win last night? They're coming up top of the hour, but we're with you commercial free from now until then. And we are starting with this list today. So we frequently do our fundamental lists here, and we have people pick their top five, this, that, or the other. Well, in this case, we asked Swagoo to do a little different list. We've got five quarterbacks who may very well be changing destinations this season or changing locations this offseason. And we're going to ask you, where should they wind up, including maybe if it's right where they began? And the first one is of particular interest to me. Marcus, let's start with Sam Darnold.
New York Jets, G. Listen, I know what the MO of Sam Darnold is, and I know what everybody's talking about with the Jets and their draft capital and their push for Deshaun Watson, or if they draft Zach Wilson. Bottom line is this. I like Sam Darnold in New York. I especially like Sam Darnold when I feel like he's going to get the type of coaching and be put in a type of situation where we can see if he can thrive. Like, this situation for me changed when I saw what Stefanski did with Baker Mayfield, who I think Sam Darnold has a little bit more talent from an athletic standpoint than Baker Mayfield. So I want Sam Darnold in New York. I want him to prove that he can be the quarterback the Jets need. And I look forward to seeing them do it after they draft Penei Sewell.
I like that one a lot.
How about Jimmy G? My next one, Jimmy G to the Patriots, G. How about that? Right, we know Bill Belichick likes him. We know the relationship exists. And we also understand that when you play quarterback, regardless of if it's Tom Brady or any other quarterback, we know when you play quarterback for the Patriots, you will be asked to manage, to have the ability to make key drives in 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. And hopefully Jimmy G can be that for the New England Patriots. I love the relationship. We all know the history that Belichick wanted to go with Jimmy G. Obviously, that did not work out for the good, but Jimmy G in New England, I think, would be a good look going back to the Patriots and give them some familiarity. The next one for me, Deshaun Watson, Miami. Gee, I'm not changing this. It will never change. As long as Deshaun Watson is not traded or signed, this will not change for me. The Miami Dolphins, to me, seem like the perfect fit. I love the fact that Flores is there, Gritter GM. They're going to build around him. Mike Gesicki at tight end, so he has a weapon that I think is going to evolve to be one of the best in the league. Devontae Parker is still there. They might not have the draft capital that they have to have in that trade, but Deshaun Watson can build other guys up around him. He played this year without a number one receiver and led the NFL in passing yards. He was phenomenal on a four-win team. So think about Deshaun Watson coupled with that defense in that division when you know Miami is going to build around him. The next one, Russell Wilson. Listen, this is new on our platform because Russell Wilson and his agent decided to talk a lot this offseason. The New Orleans Saints. Yes, I said it. They are ready to win now. What has Russell talked about? I want protection. Well, the Saints offensive line is damn good because Drew Brees was a statue, couldn't move. They had to protect him so he could operate. The second thing, this team was built to make a championship run. Now, depending on how much you may have to give up to get Russ, you may like take a little bit away from that. But the bottom line is, we all know how good Russell Wilson is. Now, put him on the team with Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook, a good offensive line, Sean Payton calling plays, a match made in heaven. And from a defensive standpoint, Cam Jordan told y'all yesterday, we get Russell Wilson, we gonna win the damn Super Bowl. So what are you waiting on, New Orleans? Go make it pop. And last but not least, Dak Prescott. And believe it or not, G, I'm leaving them in Dallas. And it is with a caveat, because you don't leave a place that's got to pay you $37 million. The second thing is, Dak is the best option. Dak handles being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback as well as anybody that I could imagine handling it. He's dealt with a catastrophic injury, still kept the confidence. Even in this negotiation that has taken for as long as it has, Dak Prescott has still been a ambassador for the Dallas Cowboys. He still talked about he wants to be with that franchise. So I believe that Dak has an affinity for Dallas. I think he wants to be there from an emotional standpoint. Regardless, it's going to be a one-year thing where he makes $37 million on a franchise tag if a long-term deal is not done, and then he may walk after that. But there it is for you, G. Tell me about my list, man.
I love it. I mean, Sam Darnold staying with the Jets, which obviously would be a fascinating one. Jimmy G to the Patriots. Some questions there about injury. Watson to the Dolphins. We've been hearing it all along. Russell Wilson, I have a question or two for you about, and Dak as well. Allie, can I bring everyone in on this? Because I'm going to do some hot takes as we go, but these were hot takes, basically. And so let's just go directly to some of these. As far as the top of the draft is concerned, we'll just take these in order. We all know what's happening at number one. So the Jets at number two really are where the draft began. And Jeff Darlington, the advantage for them, if they do decide to stick with Sam Darnold, is they don't have to use that second pick on a quarterback, which means they can use it on a player or they can trade it. That's a huge advantage if they decide to stick that way. Is your sense that they will do that?
Well, look, I don't know what they're going to do with Sam Darnold, but to your point, if they were to stay with Darnold and have that second overall pick, can you imagine the value of that? And this is, look, it's a quarterback-driven league. And when teams move up to number two, it's to get a quarterback. Teams will give up so much for that pick. If they decide to go with Darnold, I cannot even imagine the haul that they'll get in that position.
See, I think that's a really important and interesting point, because right now you have all these teams that are thinking, well, we might get Russell Wilson, we might get Deshaun Watson, we might get Dak Prescott. Some of those teams aren't going to, and by the time we get to the draft, those teams will be desperate enough to give up maybe not what you're trading for Deshaun Watson, but perhaps a king's ransom. Now, let me go to your pick of Jimmy G to New England, which is the next interesting one. I'm trying to think, Ninko, would you have played there with Garoppolo? Because what is your sense of that relationship? We all sort of perceived that Bill Belichick wanted to go forward with Jimmy G. We've seen him have some success. We've not seen him be able to stay healthy. Do you think this is a good marriage, Garoppolo back to New England?
Yeah, I play with Jimmy G. I love Jimmy. He's a great teammate. You know, the one thing that I can say is, When you're a starter and you have the scout team up there, Jimmy G was always running the cards for us. And I was always surprised and shocked at how well he was able to go out there and give us a great look. I mean, he is a really, really good quarterback. I think the injuries have definitely kind of sidetracked his progression. I think it would be a great marriage for him to come back to New England. He really probably, it was just bad timing on him being in New England and Tom still having a lot left in the tank to where they had to trade him away. So I think that if he came back to New England, it would give that team a great foundation for them to go into free agency. They have a lot of money to spend to build that offense around Jimmy G. And I think if they got Jimmy G, they'd be right back at the top of the division, competing with Buffalo to win the division again.
Meanwhile, Marcus, in your scenario, you didn't tell me one very important thing. If Jimmy Garoppolo is not the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, who is? That's a Super Bowl championship team with a coaching staff everyone wants to play for. If Garoppolo is gone, who do you believe the quarterback is in San Francisco, Marcus? Or who would you like to see it be?
Gee, I have no idea. You asked me for a list where I would like to see the five quarterbacks go. I ain't thought about all that. I just thought about where these guys was going. But if you think about it, and you look at New England, if they get Jimmy Garoppolo and San Francisco being out there with Shanahan, obviously they would have to make a play for a quarterback. I couldn't think of anybody but Deshaun Watson, or they would call about Dak Prescott to see if that's a possibility for one of those guys, because they are in a window. And they have a team constructed where they can compete for a championship if they get one of those guys. So if Jimmy G left, let me put the names out there. Deshaun Watson, I know they would make a play at him if that was the scenario. Or Dak Prescott, they would probably entertain seeing if the Dallas Cowboys would figure out a way to get rid of Dak and let him come in a trade to San Francisco.
Jeff, you look skeptical to me. Why is that?
No, I'm not saying this myself. I'm simply handing it to Marcus to say. What about a trade for Kirk Cousins?
Oh. Jeff, that's a good question. I know Kyle loves him, but do you think Kyle thinks Kirk can get him over the hump? That would be my question. Like, if you're getting Watson or you're getting Dak, You know their talent, you know their skill set, the excitement of potentially coaching one of those two guys. To your point, you know Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins going to get Kyle Shanahan a Super Bowl trophy? That's the question he's going to have to answer if we're talking about him pursuing that guy.
Let me say this. There are two graduates of Shanahan U playing quarterback in the NFL right now. Cousins is one, and Matt Ryan in Atlanta is the other. And the Falcons are a team drafting fourth. Maybe they're thinking about turning the page. Maybe Matty Ice winds up back in San Francisco. But then let's jump back to the last one. He's talking about Dak staying with the Cowboys. Is that, at the end of the day, Jeff Darlington, is that the expectation that through all of these machinations and all of the mess they've made of it, that when push comes to shove, week one in September, Dak Prescott will still have the star on his helmet?
Of this season? I mean, I guess I still think that sign and trade seems an appealing option if the Cowboys feel like they can't get it done. I mean, if they can't get a deal done by July, then they're basically saying we're going to play with Dak Prescott awkwardly for this season and then he's going to leave. The worst thing in the world would be then Dak comes out and wins a Super Bowl for him and then what? So I don't know. At that point, don't you consider a sign and trade? And again, I'm just, now we're just spitballing.
That to me, I think, is the way we look at it. Is that your expectation? Rob Ninkovich, if Dak Prescott comes back and plays for the Cowboys, he just talked about the Super Bowl. Is that a team that can even win that division? Last year, no one won 8 games in that division. Do the Cowboys win the division next year with Dak as their quarterback?
I think they'll probably be the favorites to win. But beyond that, I just don't know if they're ready to have a playoff push at this point right now. They made a mistake by overpaying Zeke. That kind of hurt them a little bit. Their offensive line is getting older, so they have to address some of those. We saw that last year with injuries at the offensive line. They still have more question marks beyond the quarterback. And I know the quarterback is the biggest subject we talk about, but there's still some things that they need to address if they want to make a Super Bowl run, that's for sure.
All right, Marcus, final word, go.
Yeah.
Yes, they are going to win the division. Lyle Collins was hurt. Tyron Smith was out. Zach Martin was out. Those three guys alone will solidify that offensive line. I know Tyron is a little bit older, but he's still playing at a high enough level in order to protect Dak Prescott. We saw what Dak did behind a decimated offensive line before he was injured. And then the question for the Cowboys is about defense. What is Quinn going to do with the defense? Because we keep focusing on, well, they need to do this for Dak. Dak was already doing quite a bit in order to keep Dallas in games. That defense is the issue in Dallas. They got to get that fixed. If they get that fixed, they'll win the division because they have the best quarterback in the division.
Remember, free agency begins 2 weeks from today. Thanks, everybody, for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.